The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, November 27, 2016, broadcasting live from the studios at WGBB 1240 AM in West Babylon, New York. I am Gary Harding along with John Panarisa for the next hour. It's Hockey Talk here on Sports Talk 1240. We have a special guest coming up in the first few minutes, and his name is Gil Martin, and he wrote an amazing, fantastic book that any fan of New York hockey, whether you are a Ranger fan, whether you are an Islander fan, either one of the sides, you will love this book. It's called Ice Wars. And basically, to summarize the book, it provides a detail of every single Islander-Ranger game from the first game in 1972 until the last game that happened in the 2015-2016 season. It's a great read. It's available out on Amazon and all your local book options. I definitely think it's a must gift for any hockey fan in your life. John, I know you're just gonna just start to get to read the book, but, I am telling you, once you go through this thing, you're gonna feel like you've relived about 40 years of your life.
I don't know if I want to do that.
Well, yeah. I mean, good thing it's almost equal the rivalry over the years. I think the Rangers got about three or four games on the Islanders at this point, but, it goes through all the highs and lows, again, depending on what side of the fence you're on. Gil interviewed a whole load of people. I would say 50 to 60 people, and there's a lot of pictures too. There's a lot of interesting stories, things that you wouldn't have gotten from anything. John, can I close the door? It's an absolutely great read, and we're gonna talk to him in the first half hour, and in the second half hour, if you're an Islander fan and you're suffering like John and I, we're part of your 12-step program. So please give us a call to the show, 631-888-8811. Let's talk about what's going on. I mean, we don't have to obviously talk Islanders. We could talk about that debacle that just happened at the end of the Jet game. You know, things are going so well. Fitzpatrick had a decent game, and all of a sudden Tom Brady decides to wake up and score a touchdown and end the game. Typical Jet fashion. As Tom Brady does. It was his 200th victory today. The Giants had a nice victory today, as expected, over the winless Cleveland Browns, 27-13. They improved to 8-3, doing quite well. They're two games behind Dallas, and they got Dallas coming in a couple of weeks. So the Giants are on a roll. They're playing fantastic, and obviously they got an excellent shot for the playoffs. And as far as Jet fans, well, wait till next year, just like always.
Oh, where's Derek when we need him?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure right now he's probably throwing himself somewhere, screaming. I can just imagine what his reaction is like. John Sweeney, our buddy, the same way. Obviously, yeah. They really live and breed green and white, and it was a very, very difficult day. But obviously, you know, before we get Gil on, the Islanders with their road trip, they get that first road victory off the hands, that 14-round shootout. Did you stay up for it?
No, I did.
It was interesting. Glad they got
it.
I'm sorry?
Letty won it, right?
Letty won it. A controversial goal by Hickey to keep it going, but, you know, they really couldn't overturn it. And, of course, from what my friends in California had told me, that that the Anaheim media really were blasting what happened. So, you know, quite an interesting way, and then obviously a tough loss again in the last couple of minutes to the LA Kings. They get a 4-2 victory, and of course, what happened in San Jose? Letty ties the game up with less than a minute left, and then 20 seconds later, a deflection by Patrick Marleau does him in. But you know, it's a tough time to be a fan of the Islanders right now. But we got our guest on the line, and this gentleman just finished, I'm sure, a labor of love, writing a great book called Ice Wars. A great story about every game in the Islander-Ranger rivalry, and his name is Gil Martin, and he's joining us now on Sports Talk 1240. Gil, it's Gary and John here in West Babylon. Good evening, and I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Very good. How about you?
Oh, we're doing well. We could be better, let's put it that way. You know, between the Islanders, debacle of the past week, and the Jets, disaster today, you know, we could really use a couple of drinks in the studio right now. So listen, Gil, let's go straight about this. What would have thought in your mind to come up with this kind of a book to go through such detail and a labor of love. I'm sure it didn't take you a week and a half to write.
Yeah, it took a long time, but yeah, I mean, this is just, I've been a hockey fan since I was 5 years old and grew up around this rivalry. This is what made hockey so great to me, the intensity, the friendly and not so friendly, but mostly friendly competition between the fans, and just some of the greatest hockey that I've ever seen over the course of my life. And I guess if you were to write a history of either team since the rivalry started back in 1972, you couldn't write it. Like, all the highlights, most of the highlights would involve games against the other team. So, to me, yeah, this was a labor of love, and I really enjoyed putting it together.
How long did it take?
Actively about 6 years.
Wow.
Wow, that's incredible. So, obviously, you had to get a lot of help from a lot of people, because going through the book, and, you know, I think we're close to the same age. So, you know, I was obviously a young kid when I started the rivalry, and, you know, didn't know a lot about, you know, obviously the intricacies. And obviously it took a lot of getting to a lot of people that were involved in that rivalry, both from the Rangers side and the Islanders side. And I think that's what will be, I think, the best part of someone who doesn't know the rivalry as much as, say, John and I or you do, about a lot of the stories that went in, especially in those early years when the Islanders were struggling and the Rangers were, you know, the top team in the land, or one of the top teams in the land.
Yeah, I was able to uncover some great stories and fun stories, you know, from both teams. And I did more than 50 interviews, you know, with players and coaches and broadcasters from both teams, and put it all together. And yeah, I mean, the funny thing is sometimes you get the best stories from the guys who are not quite as well known as you know, your Dennis Potvans or your Wayne Gretzky's. And you know, you find the guys who were, you know, third or fourth line players, or this, you know, one of the black aces, but they have the best stories.
What was, you know, maybe some of the more interesting things that you sort of uncovered that, you know, you might not even have been aware of or may have forgotten?
Oh, boy, you know, a couple of things. You know, one of them was, you know, Richie Hansen, which to me is always a fun story. He was the first Islander from Long Island. And the ironic thing is, of course, he grew up a Rangers fan, because there were no Islanders to root for when he was growing up. And he joined the Islanders in 1976-77. And who does he score his first two goals against? The New York Rangers, and helped the Islanders win back when that was still a pretty big deal, when the rivalry was just heating up and the Islanders were just starting to get pretty darn good. So, you know, just little tidbits and oh, man, you know, just so many things happened between these two teams. Glenn Healy gave me a great comment that the very first time as an Islander, when he joined the Islanders, and he was just in the Coliseum waiting to go out and you know, head out for the pregame warm-ups, and he's sitting there, and he feels the whole building is shaking from inside the locker room, and he's like, what the hell's going on? Is there an earthquake? No, it's the Ranger game. Get used to it. Anytime the Rangers are here, that's what this building is like. And you know, there really was, it was a game in October, but it had a playoff atmosphere even back then.
But you know, the thing, I'm kind of a stat guru at times, or I love digesting some of these things. And I think for the readers that will pick up this book, I think one of the best parts about it is there is a lot of stat stuff. It's not just basically telling a story on every game. It's really almost like you were at that game and gave the actual write-up, like you were at the press box at the Garden or the Coliseum or wherever, and you gave the story like you were there that day. And I think that was something that I was very impressed with going through this book. And truthfully, I haven't gotten through it all yet, but that's the one thing about this labor of love that you put in that I've really been impressed with.
Well, thanks. I mean, I tried to do that, and I tried to also sort of put things in a little bit of perspective also for the, you know, for the long term. So yeah, it was sort of a balancing act, and it was great finding some of these game stories and, you know, some of the quotes that, like, you know, you get from Herb Brooks or Al Arbor or Roger Nielsen or Butch Goring. Some of the coaching quotes are great, because, you know, even little things like, you know, you look back at the Islanders' dynasty years and you think how great they were, you know, 19 straight playoff series, 4 straight Stanley Cups. But, you know, the thing you forget, sometimes these guys had bad games. They had slumps, too, and, you know, sometimes some really bad Ranger teams would beat the Islanders, or some really bad Islander teams would beat the Rangers when they had Messier and Richter and Leach and all those guys. So just little stories that come out of it, and it was fun. It was really fun to put together.
It's, you know, the rivalry is always, you know, it's interesting because I remember growing up in junior high and high school, and the rivalry meant so much different of an emotional appeal to me back then. It was like coming to school, you were going to war as an Islander fan. And, you know, now that I'm older and now that I'm, you know, part of the broadcast media, so to speak, it's a different perspective. And I don't know how, when you've researched all of this, I feel like the rivalry has really changed, especially over the last 10 plus years. I don't think it has that emotional fire. I mean, I'm not saying that it's lacking it, you know, there's still games like, but it's not the same as it was. And I don't know if that's how it is or if that's just my perspective with age.
I think there's a couple of things. I think, first of all, you go back to the 70s and the 80s, which I think, you know, between, let's say, 1975 and 1995 would probably be the heart and soul of the rivalry. But, you know, like, there was no free agency back then. Players stayed a lot longer on each team, and you know, there was sort of a difference in culture between the teams. Now with free agency and salary caps and everything else, guys are coming, guys are going.
That's
how many players
point.
Have played on both teams? I think part of it is just, hey, when you're a kid, when you're growing up, when you're in school, there's nothing more intense than that, you know? I mean, I feel the same way. And then the other thing is, you look back at the 70s and 80s and 90s, you know, for most of that time, both teams were really, really good. When the Islanders were winning Stanley Cups, the Rangers were probably one of the 5 or 6 best teams in the league. So, you know, year after year, they'd meet in the playoffs, and you just saw some great hockey. So it's been a while since both teams were really, really good. And I think that's part of the reason that maybe the intensity isn't quite what it was in, let's say, 1983.
Well, just extending on to that situation, did you get any sense, obviously, if you've covered things, you know, you've covered games, you've seen things, obviously, now. Did you get any sense from any of the people that you interviewed in the 70s and 80s that the atmosphere, say, between the locker rooms, say, after games, especially after, say, a heated contest or something like that, was it, you know, obviously, as you said, with the free agency and everything going on, it's obviously a different situation between players. A lot of guys know each other. It's, you know, they definitely leave it away, you know, after the game's over. But was there as much heated rivalry, you know, talking to each other outside the locker rooms after games as there was, you know, between the boards during games?
There was some interesting meetings after games in the locker rooms, and I think a one between Al Arbor and Roger Nielsen, where 40 minutes after a game, they actually met in the tunnel outside the Coliseum locker room. And I don't know if you have ever been down. Well, you, Gary, you must have been down in the Coliseum locker room a bunch of times. And, you know, there's not a lot of distance between the two locker rooms. At least there wasn't back then.
No.
Just a little corridor there. And, you know, they went at it a bunch of times after games, and it just got pretty heated. But there's just a couple of funny stories. One time, Bobby Nystrom, he got knocked out, and he went into the hospital after a game. And who came to visit Bobby Nystrom? Nick Fetiu, the Rangers' tough guy. And, you know, I interviewed Bobby, and Bobby's like, yeah, he brought me cookies.
Jeez.
He brought me cookies. So, you know, here are these two guys on the ice, you know, enemies, very intense rivalry. But the cool thing about it, even in the 70s and the 80s and the sort of the heyday of the rivalry, on the ice, intense dislike, big rivalry. Off the ice, a lot of respect. And the one thing that both, you know, guys who I interviewed from both teams always said was, win or lose, the other team brought out the best in us when we were playing. And I remember I interviewed Barry Beck for the book. He was one of the guys I interviewed. And he said to me, I still have dreams about playing against the Islanders. And I said to him, well, do you win in your dreams or do you lose like you did, you know, back in the playoffs back then? He said, He said to me, these were dreams, not nightmares. So, little tidbits like that are always fun to uncover. Here's a guy who, you know, captain of the Rangers, all-star defenseman, and here it is 30, 35 years later, and he's still thinking about, you know, dreaming about the intensity and the great games that they played back in the 80s.
Now, when you were doing all the research, you know, just kind of a double question here. Who was maybe the easiest and the better interviews that you got? You were just able to get chock full of information. And maybe who was a guy who didn't really want to talk about it or really was not really, you know, divulging a lot?
Boy, the first one is easy. There are two guys that, well, three guys I'll even say that stood out. Jean Potvin. Easy interview. You ask three questions, he'll talk for 45 minutes to an hour.
Yes.
Wind them up, he'll go, and they're great stories. I mean, Jean Potvin, really good, great memory, great stories. Easy interview. Doug Wade, also, easy interview. And, you know, he played for both teams, coached for the Islanders now, played for both teams, you know, was there when Messier was there with the Rangers and then with Tavares with the Islanders. So he's seen, you know, some of the great players on both teams, played with them, played against them. So those guys were easy. And another great interview, who had a lot of perspective and also worked for both teams, Neil Smith. Boy, Neil Smith had a lot of information about stuff that went on behind the scenes. And, you know, Neil Smith actually got his start as a scout for the Islanders because the Islanders couldn't send their regular scouts to Madison Square Garden because the scouts used to actually sit with the fans. And the fans would be hostile to, you know, Lorne Henning or someone they recognized as an Islander guy.
Jeez.
So Neil Smith started out for free just going to Madison Square Garden to scout for the Islanders so he wouldn't be seen and their scouts wouldn't be disrupted. He ends up scouting for the Islanders, gets paid for it, and then goes on to Detroit and, of course, ends up as GM of the Rangers, builds their Stanley Cup team, and, well, he was GM of the Islanders for, what, about 6 weeks?
Yeah, that's true.
Give or take.
Give or take.
So, obviously, you spent 6 years writing this book. Now, what does Gil Martin do after he's finished all this?
Radio shows like this. you know, I'm not sure what my next project is going to be. I'm just sort of trying to promote this one right now. And really just enjoying it. You know, this was a fun project to put together and learned a lot. And you know, hopefully people can read this and enjoy it and learn a lot about the rivalry and some of the great stories behind it and some of the personalities behind it. And, you know, there's sort of a summary of every season for both teams and player profiles, one player per team per year. So that's what, like, you know, 85, 86 profiles, some of the great players and great moments, and I hoped to be able to bring all that back for the fans.
That's a lot of work. It's amazing that you put so much into it, and I haven't gotten a chance to actually, you know, get it myself in a format that I can read it, but I'm definitely looking forward to that because, like I said, you're gonna open some wounds maybe. I don't know if that's what happened to you when you were doing the research, but you're probably, because games are going to come back to me, because I used to listen to so many of those rivalry games, especially in the 80s and the early 90s. So, you know, was there anything that really came back to you, you know, growing up when you were interviewing, going, oh, my God, I can remember when that happened like it was yesterday?
You know, it's amazing. You know, the stuff that happens when you're in school, when you're growing up, when you first really become a big fan, that doesn't go away. And I think the one moment that I think about is Ken Morrow's goal.
I
think that was the greatest game these two teams ever played against each other. And such a seesaw battle and the controversy with the Don Maloney goal at the end of regulation to tie it. And I interviewed Don for the book at the Nassau Coliseum a bunch of years ago. And I said, you know, okay, you know, off the record, I said, if you want, off the record, was it a high stick or wasn't it a high stick? So he looks at me and he says, well, it depends who I was working for when you asked. He said, when I was working for the Islanders, it was definitely a high stick, and the referee should have called it back. But when I was working for the Rangers, yeah, it was a good goal. It was definitely a good goal. But the funniest thing was this, and this is what I thought was really classy. I interviewed Kenny Morrow for the book, and Morrow said to me, and you know, this is all obviously in the book, but Morrow said the referees did the right thing by allowing that goal, because you don't want a series as good as that one decided on a referee's call as controversial as that. And, you know, I don't know if he would have said that at the moment that that goal was allowed, but I think he's 100% right, and that overtime was probably the most exciting, what, 7 or 8 minutes of hockey that almost anybody's seen in a long time. That was a spectacular overtime.
It was. You're right. It was absolutely an outstanding overtime, and we definitely enjoy those moments. So Gil, tell me, where can I mean, I would appreciate you got the book for me, but tell me where people can purchase this lovely material. And by the way, just to let people know, again, it is about 520 pages, so it is not going to be it's not going to be a half hour in the bathroom kind of book, if you know what I mean. So you're going to need a lot of time and a lot of hours, and believe me, these are hours you want to keep and hold on. So tell us, Gil, how do we find your book?
It's available at Amazon.com. It's available through the BarnesandNoble.com. The publisher is AuthorHouse.com. RangersIslandersRivalry.com is a website that has a little bit of information about the book as well.
Oh, well, listen, Gil, we thank you so, so much for coming on tonight and talking about this. And, you know, we hope that you maybe steered some people into getting some definite Christmas and Hanukkah presents. And, again, we thank you for coming on Sports Talk 1240 tonight. And have a great holiday season.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. It was fun to talk about this stuff.
All right, take care. All right, that's Gil Martin talking about Ice Wars, the Islander-Ranger rivalry. Again, John, I'm telling you, I am only probably about 25% into the book. I'm only on to about 77, 78 right now. So I'm at the point where, you know, obviously the Islanders are getting better, but the Rangers still have their number.
Right.
And, of course, we all know what happened in 78, 79,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they knocked the Islanders out of the playoffs, when they were the President's League, President's Trophy winners, and expected to win the cup that year,
yeah,
and they knocked them down a peg. So, you know, obviously it was Toronto the year before. The Rangers did it in 78, 79, and, of course, we all know what happened after that. You know, again, as I've mentioned, and I've mentioned on the air a ton of times, I've lived on both sides of that rivalry. So, you know, I've had highs and lows in both directions. But I really have a hard time fathoming. Obviously, for New York sports, it's the rivalry. You know, obviously up until 15 years ago, the Mets never played the Yankees except for the Mayor's Trophy game once a year.
Right.
So you never had that. The Giants play the Jets once every 4 years. Yes, they play once in the preseason. So you don't have that. The Knicks and the Nets, well, obviously you only had them since 77 when the Nets came into the NBA. And it never really turned out to be the big crosstown rivalry that it should have been. So, you know, other than, you know, really there's nothing else. I mean, that was the one. You always knew that during the season, whether you followed the Rangers or whether you followed the Islanders, it didn't matter. You were rooting against your neighbor, you know, your boss or your employee, you know,
friends in school.
Exactly. You know, whatever happened the next day depended on the fact whether the Islanders beat the Rangers or the Rangers beat the Islanders. And, you know, your whole, you know, in some people's cases, probably their whole personalities, their whole lives could have turned around because of it, you know? Especially if you had a boyfriend and girlfriend who were Islander fan, Ranger fans. Could you imagine?
I couldn't have dated a Ranger fan. I still couldn't date a Ranger fan. Seriously, I just...
Well, you know, it's funny. I never really got into relationships with people that followed hockey until I switched over to the Islanders. Maybe it was a good thing.
It probably, yeah.
I think it was a good thing. So anyway, we're going to, I guess, take a commercial break here in a couple minutes, pay some bills. And when we come back, again, you people that are Islander fans, that are hanging on the ledge, that are struggling with the fact of your team struggling as bad as it is, hanging at the bottom of the division. Do we fire the coach? Do we fire the GM? Do we make a big trade? What do we do in Islander land? Okay, here's your chance to talk. Remember, the best thing about, you know, being struggling and down in the dumps is we got a 12-step program here at Sports Talk 1240. John and I are here. We're not licensed therapists, but we can talk about it.
Yeah, we can talk about it.
Exactly. So the number to call us here is 631-888-8811. Definitely we're here to talk about it. Obviously if we don't get calls in, obviously there's other sports that happen during the day. Again, good football weekend for the Giants, not so good for the Jets. You know, you got free agency hitting in high gear. The baseball awards were out. Basketball is starting. You got college game going. You got the bowl games, starting to come into shape. Some big, a big controversy, obviously, in the Michigan-Ohio State game on Saturday with the placement of a ball, and Michigan fans are not happy. I know that. Ohio people are elated. But we'll see what happens. But we're going to pay some bills here, and we're going to be back in a couple minutes. Gary and John here on the for the second half hour of Sports Talk 1240. Make sure you come back and check us out.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
And we're back on the second half hour of Sports Talk 1240. Just want to also give a Twitter handle for Gil and the book Ice Wars. He is at Ice Wars NYR versus NYI. That's Ice Wars NYR vs NYI. He actually has been put up some stuff, and he actually has a thing that he put up 43 minutes ago. Today in rivalry history. Okay, here you go, John. November 27th, 1982. Ron Duguay had two goals, and Ed Mio made 28 saves as the Rangers beat the Islanders 3-0. Wow. So there's a little tidbit for you, and he's actually been putting some stuff on here. So it's actually pretty pretty cool. So again, check him out at Ice Wars NYR vs NYI. Also, the last show I did, I interviewed Mia Dench of the New York Riveters, just to let everybody know. And I am definitely, I'm not going to be able to make next weekend's games, but I'm going to definitely start going out and checking out the NWHL. But the New York Riveters franchise of the National Women's Hockey League had two games next weekend on Saturday the 3rd and Sunday the 4th. They play at the practice facility at the Rock in Newark. On Saturday the 3rd at 4:30, they're playing the Buffalo Buttes. And on Sunday, December 4th, they are playing the NWHL last year champions, the Boston Pride. Game on Sunday is at 4 p.m. I believe tickets are $20, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a great chance to check out some fantastic hockey. Truthfully, when the Olympics came out, I enjoyed watching the women's game because, you know, it's not necessarily a power game. It's like watching women's basketball. You see the actual skill involved. You don't necessarily see, you know, somebody jamming the ball or using their body to pressure. You actually watch the skill.
Right.
And that's what impresses me about especially the women's game. And definitely, like I said, if you get a chance, get yourself out there. Obviously, if you live on the island and you want to get to Newark, it's very simple. You just take the railroad into Penn Station, you get New Jersey Transit to Newark, and you just walk up the block, and there you are. So again, it's a great afternoon out if you get a chance to go check it out again. Again, the number 631-888-8811 is the number to talk to John and I. We are here for the next 30 minutes as your as your Islander psychology team.
Yeah.
John, you know, I know you've sent some emails to me, and you've definitely, I think, needed to get a chance to rant. And I was gonna do some setup music, but I just think it just needs to come right out. John, I am gonna open the floor up to you, let you start it, and hopefully some other people come on the line and join us and talk about what they're feeling right now as we hit the 25% mark of the season. And obviously, last season at the 25% mark, we were a lot happier than what we are now, don't you think?
Yeah, quite a bit happier, especially after the road trip. I mean, I don't even know where to start with this team. And it's amazing to me because on paper, this team is a lot better than it's displayed as far as, you know, the standings go and game in and game out goes. And I think that basically the game on Friday versus San Jose basically typifies the way this season has been like. And, you know, I was reading a lot of things about, oh, the Islanders have to win get 5 out of 6 points on this road trip. They got to get 5 out of 6, you know, points on the road trip. And it looked like they might have been able to do that. You know, they started off with the win. The 14 round shootout win, but then, you know, they go down to LA, give up some late goals, and in San Jose, they tie the game with what, 50 something seconds left, and then 30 seconds later, they blow it. And it's just been, it's to a point where it's almost comical if it wasn't so painful. And I just don't understand what is going on with this team. The effort, you know, I think Butch Goring sometimes tries to paint a really pleasant picture to things, but sometimes I'm wondering if what he's describing and what I read is going on out there, they're two entirely different things. And, you know, what happened to the puck possession? What happened to the effort? What happened to the killer instinct? What happened to the confidence that this team is supposed to have? We're not rebuilding anymore. You know, we got guys like Ladd and Jason Chimera here for the leadership. This stuff should not be happening. This team should not be giving up leads late. You know, they should be playing with the killer instinct. They should be playing with the desperation. No night is going to be easy. And, you know, and I guess it hurts more that other teams, we won't mention, you know, Waz's team, are playing a lot better. And they were expected not to. You know, everybody was talking about the Rangers and the moves the Rangers made and how they were basically going to be, you know, maybe slightly worse. Maybe some people were saying a lot worse, but yet they are, you know, basically among the top teams in NHL. Meanwhile, my Islanders, who, you know, are a lot better than they're playing right now. And it's like, I feel like I'm living in a bizarro world. I feel like I wish I could start back in September and rewind this and start all over again. And this is a joke because at this point, I don't like to see people lose jobs, but people who've listened to the me and Gary, you know, I tend to defend the status quo. But I think at this point, Jack, as much as, you know, people could say he's won 211 games, this team is not responding to him. You know, you can't trade the players like Gary and I were talking earlier. You can't trade the players, so something else has got to give. And at this point, they don't need a coach who's a friend. They need a coach who's going to motivate this team and kick some serious tail. And I don't know, you know, where they're going to find it. I don't know who's left out there. And they can't, you know, I agree with the guys on Islander Point Blank, Brian Compton and Mike Carver. You can't just fire Jack and replace him with Dougie Waite or Cronin, Wayne Cronin. It's not going to help. You need to change the system. The system is not working. You know, like I said, a couple of years ago, the puck possession numbers, the way this team would dominate in the forecheck. You know, I wish they were playing like that now with the talent they have. And, you know, the other part of it that's kind of scary to me is the lack of progression we're seeing in the younger players. You know, Strom, what happened to the Strom a couple of seasons ago? You know, Anders Lee and Brock Nelson, These guys should be 30-plus goal scorers and should be showing up on the score sheet every night. And, you know, and now they're expecting somebody like Bouvillier to come along and you know, and make a big difference. And I just am not seeing anything. You know, they let go of P.A. Parento because of the excuse was that they had these younger players who they felt could do the job. And they send Barzal back to junior. I just don't understand what the thinking is right at this point. And, you know, and I'm getting frustrated and I, you know, I'm a trainer. I what I do in my real world job is I teach people. I teach people who are 88 years old. I teach people who are 18, 14, use technology. And I'm one of the most patient people in the world. And I think I've shown a lot of patience with this hockey team so far, but I got to tell you, I'm losing it. I'm really losing my patience. So how was that without any foul language?
You did good. I'm proud of you. But I mean, just sitting on the other side of the table from him, I could just feel the heat coming out. You know, it's amazing. But you know what? You hit points around on the money. And you know, I had a conversation with Gil on the way to the studio because I just wanted to confirm everything was good for his interview. And he said something very profound to me and it made a lot of sense. You know, he said, you know, obviously, you know, of the, you know, the eight times that we've given up, that the Islanders have given up a goal in the last 3 minutes to either tie a game or lose a game. He said, think about it this way. He says, yeah, that's a rotten statistic, but at least they're not getting blown out. So that's telling you something there that they're in games. You know, you can't use that as the excuse or try to pin everything on it, but you know, I think it would be a lot different of a situation if the Islanders were consistently losing 5-1, 6-2.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've only played maybe one stinker.
Tampa.
Yeah, the Tampa game was
actually pretty much the whole Tampa series was a stinker,
yeah,
if you ask me.
True, but that one particular game, they were just not there.
Well, here's a question. Here's a question for you that really, you know, lives and dies with this team. Considering what you're seeing every night, do you really think that the guys have given up on the coaches?
I don't know if they've given up on the coaches. I just wonder, you know, I've had this conversation with a few people and some people have made the point, well, you know, you got to look at the turnover. You got to look over the fact that they lost three heart and soul players. You bring two new guys in who are leaders, yes, but it still takes time to gel. It still takes time for the chemistry to you know, kind of come in place. And I guess the fact that they're not getting blown out indicates that I don't think the team mentally has totally given up on Capuano. My concern is that, you know, a quarter post through the season, where we are in the standings, by Christmas, if they keep this up, there's going to be no hope of making the playoffs. Yeah. Right now, they can. If they get another, you know, remember last season and the season before they had like that 12-2 run and in the, you know, a couple of seasons prior to that.
That was in November.
Yeah, you know, if they could rattle off a string like that, they could put themselves back into the playoff picture. But if it keeps going the way it's going by Christmas, what's the point in watching?
Well, Gil actually said right now, he says, based off the analytics he read, he said something like that. The odds of the Islanders making a playoffs right now are at 3%. So, I mean, obviously, it has to be a dramatic turnover.
Yeah, no, it does.
And you know, and I know, I have I wouldn't say a friendship, but I do have a good relationship with our general manager that I've had over the last 10 years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Actually 15 years since he was playing, because he was always a good guest with the Booster Club when he was a player, and obviously as general manager, we've had him every year. We've had him here on Sports Talk 1240. He's always been good to me. He always gives my wife a hug and a kiss when he sees her, you know. So obviously, yes, I may drink, you know, according to some people on some Facebook boards that make comments on me, I do drink a little more Kool-Aid than most when it comes down to that.
Yeah, and so do I.
And of course everybody was moaning and groaning about the fact that, you know, he didn't do this, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. Well, we find out he actually offered these people a lot of money, but you know what? Bottom line comes down to is that if the guys don't want to be here, there's nothing a general manager can do.
Right. I mean, Nielsen basically said flat out he wanted a change of scenery.
Yep.
You know, so what do you do? The Islanders offered him more than what Detroit offered him, I believe. And he still went with
yes,
Detroit.
Yes, they offered – he offered about almost a half a million or three quarter of a million a right. year more, and I think one more year. So, yes. Yeah, that's the case. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. So, I mean, everybody obviously feels, and a lot of people on the boards feel, A, we have a minor league general manager. But you know what? I think he's, what, the third or fourth longest tenure GM currently right now in the NHL. So, I mean, he's not a minor league general manager. You also have a coach who's won 219 games?
Yeah, whatever it is.
Whatever that number is. Okay, he's been coaching in a league now for 6 years. He is not a minor league coach. He has won, except for the exception of Al Arbor, he's won more games behind the Islander bench than anybody else.
Right.
So, obviously, he is a capable coach.
Yeah.
But I think, as the status is of most coaches in professional sports, whether it's hockey, baseball, basketball, football, there has to be a point where you may not be able to hold on to that guy any longer. He's you know, not necessarily lost control of the locker room, but it just doesn't work anymore. And right now, I think the way the makeup of these guys and the makeup of how this team is currently at right now, they need disciplinarian.
Yeah, they need desperation.
Jack Capuano, we've all seen it. If you've been in the locker room, you know it. He is a player's coach. He is definitely pro player. He doesn't get into their faces. He'll tell you something. He'll admonish you when you're wrong, but he's pretty much a player's guy. And I think at the level that this team is at right now, today, November 27, 2016, this team needs someone, as you said very nicely, to give them a good kick in the rear.
Yeah.
And I think they need more than that. They really do. Because you know what? I think with the exception of maybe two, I don't think they've played more than two complete 60-minute hockey games this year.
No, and that's it. The focus is not there. And you know, my brother Joe and I, we listen to some, you know, watch some of these games, and it puts us to sleep. You know, we make jokes about it. It's like, you know, I can't believe sometimes that this is a regular season game.
Well, you know, right now just sleeping in a studio, so I guess we don't help either, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I agree. I mean, it just... It seems like there's just something missing. And folks, if you're listening, are we wrong? Are we wrong in our philosophy here? You know, it just seems like, you know, the guys are going out there. They're giving, I would say in most cases, they're giving an effort, but sometimes the effort is either misplaced or just slightly askew.
Right. And
you know?
It doesn't last. You know, they come out and they have these great shifts, and I sit there going, oh man, maybe somebody said something on the bench or whatever. And then three shifts later, it's like that the ice is tilted back in their end again.
Yes. You miss a Matt Martin in the locker room. You miss a Matt Martin on the ice. But you know what? As you do miss him, you do have guys that are similar and ill.
Right.
I mean, if you saw the look on Cal Clutterbuck's face on Friday when they interviewed him after the game, he looks like he just lost that puppy dog he just got. I mean, you know, you could see it. I mean, these guys are seriously peeved.
Right.
I'll use as a better word.
Right.
And they're peeved. They're upset. They don't know what the solution is right now.
And they need to do something about this goaltending situation, because I think it's impacting the state of these, you know, there's some of these goals that Halak and Greiss have given up. They were not giving up last season.
Yeah, obviously, we're not in the general manager's room. We don't know what's been going on. You hear about possible talking about who might have been available, who could have been available. Obviously, with the World Cup of Hockey tournament that Yaroslav Halak had, he put himself back in graces. You know, with his play, he was tremendous.
He was.
He was absolutely, and
I still think he's the number one.
He is the number one, but I think right now, and again, I don't necessarily blame Garth on a lot of stuff, but this three-headed monster is a problem.
Yeah, he's got to do something about it.
And I really think it's gonna. I hate to say it, but I think it's permanently going to mess up this kid Berube.
Yeah.
I mean, to sit on the bench all this time and not get a chance to get a start. I mean, it's game 21, folks. When the heck are you going to put him in? You know, this kid won a Calder Cup. This is not a fly-by-night goaltender. You know, he did win a few games for us down a stretch when we needed him last year.
Right.
He's got the capability, and he's 25. You don't want to mess this kid up. You know,
it's just not fair to.
You know, I almost, you know, I'm just making a joke. Years ago there was a movie with a very young Drew Barrymore called Irreconcilable Difference, where this 10-year-old girl sues her parents because they mess up her life. I think the Islanders are pretty much, are messing up Jean-Francois Berube's life right now, because this is the time where he needed to step up. You know, and the Kings had to expose him, and that's how Garceau and the Islanders got him, is because they had to expose him to waivers because of their situation in L.A. at the time. And you know what? I mean, when Quick went down game two and their backup goaltender, Zadkov, went off almost right after that, well, I mean, a game or two later, that would have been the perfect opportunity. You know what? Even a Gibber would be back for something.
Right.
Give him a chance.
Give him a chance to play someplace.
Give him a chance. As you said, you know, there's been times where Halak has shown he's the number one. Obviously, he's made some really sad mistakes in net this year. And, you know, a lot of people say it could be because of the World Cup, because of the extra play. Although, I don't believe that either, because Halak didn't play for 5 months.
Right.
You can use that excuse with a lot of players. John Tavares was one of them that they use because they figured he hasn't had enough time to rest and recuperate all summer. They had to get right back in training for the tournament. You know, there's a lot of things to think about with this team, but you know, this is the time of the year, and especially the way this Islanders schedule has been, that they're almost overwhelmingly playing at home. They got to play like 25 of the last 32 on the road.
And that's where it's going to count.
That's where it's going to count.
Who knows where they're going to be in the standings.
And how many games have we won? Are the Islanders won the road this year,
John? I don't think they've won, one?
One.
One, just at Anaheim.
And it took to the shootout to get the win.
Rounds.
They have not won a regulation game on the road this season.
And, you know, the other part that kind of amuses me and grinds my gears is, you know, right away there's the trades. We should trade for this guy. We should trade for that guy. Let's just put one thing to rest. Please, Garth, please, no Evander Kane. Please, that problem.
That was somebody just throwing it up in the air.
Yeah, I hope so.
But the problem is, you know, obviously with the advent of social media, sports talk radio, all these other things, you've got 20,000 general managers out there.
Of course.
And you're all saying, you know, do this, do that, do this, do that. Evander Kane is a cancer. We all know it. Everybody knows in the NHL. You know, I think Buffalo's found that out almost immediately.
Yeah.
And they're probably regretting it massively. And, what you know, they're looking for a defenseman. All right, now the way our defense is coming, who knows if there's anybody willing to be given up.
Yeah, especially with all the injuries.
Well, yes. Actually, they had an open practice today at Northwell this afternoon. Seidenberg did practice. Pulak did practice. Pulak is not playing on Monday against Calgary, but they figure by the end of the week he is back. So, yes, some of that is going to alleviate itself. You know, I mean, who would have thought that after 9 days being injured with a broken thumb that Travis Hamonic would come back?
That just shows you him. That's the character of Travis, you know.
Exactly. That's class personified.
Exactly. That's a guy they were saying 4 to 6 weeks he'd be out, and he comes back in and wants to make a difference. Mm-hmm. That's the guy you want to keep. You know, that's a guy who, you know, that typifies what a hockey player is.
I mean, looking at the rest of the defense, I'll truthfully say there's been some times this year where I hate to say it, but I almost regret that the Isle signed Boychuk for 7 years. Because he looked pretty bad. But I think, you know, a couple of games in the road trip, he's looked a little better. I think he needs to spot his game a little more, you know, as he's getting older. He's going to have to, I guess keep himself back a little further on the play and not get constantly beaten.
Right.
Because obviously he was never the best skater to begin with. But, you know, a couple years older, you lose that half a stride, that quarter of a stride.
That's going
to allow guys to have breakaways. And we've seen it a bunch of times this year. And that's.
And, you know, what about the other thing, this talk about trading Calvin DeHaan? Why?
Why?
He's probably one of the better defensemen consistently this season.
Again, the thing that I always was impressed with him and what, not just from people that cover the Islanders, but that, you know, from the NHL Network, when you hear all these other people that don't have a hand in the Islander team, talk about DeHaan, and they talk about hockey IQ. They don't. They say he's not the sharpest knife in the draw, but he gets the cutting done. You know, that's, I was really interested one time when I heard that explained that way. That, you know, he's always going to get the job done. It may not look pretty. It may not look, you know, either a, you know, Erik Karlsson kind of way,
right,
or a Zdeno Chara type of way. If you're looking from the O side or the D side, it's never going to be the best looking way in the world, but he's going to get the job done most of the time. And he's just, to me, he's a solid four. And that's where I expected him to be when he was drafted, even in the first round. I didn't expect him to be a 1-2 defenseman. I expect him to be either a 3-4.
And he's a 3-4.
And he's been that way.
And, you know, he had that down season a couple of seasons ago. Everybody was on him, you know, about his play. And I just think consistently he just tends to make the better plays.
Well, I'm gonna have to take a second here and change gears on the Islanders, because even though the better part of the relationship that I have, and unfortunately she doesn't listen to the show live all the time, which really ticks me off. But I'm going to have to side with my wife on this, and she said, you know who's been the best player on this team? And you know who I'm going to say?
Josh Bailey.
Of course. And you know
and,
what?
And
consistently,
I kinda have to agree.
Consistently, game one to game 20, he's been there. He's been there all along. And, you know, that's... Somebody said, if Josh Bailey's the best player on this team, you know we've got a problem.
Yeah, but, you know, people pick on that guy and, you know.
Oh, I know. Believe me.
I think because of where he got picked in the draft and, you know, I think people have to come to the reality that he's not going to be an 80-point getter. You know, he's not a point guy, a game guy. He gets the job done. He's going to get you 40, 50 points, mm-hmm. maybe playing on the first line, maybe a little bit more. But at least he's putting a solid effort on both sides of the ice.
Yep, exactly. I think a lot of his problem was in the last couple of years, he was lacking in the back part of the
line. Yeah, no, he's been
forechecking much better, skating a lot better, you know, but, you know, I have to give him credit, you know, and believe me, you know, sitting, next to my wife on the couch, I haven't got, you know, my elbow or my shoulder punched as much. So things have been better, you know, and of course when he scores, I get a scream that, you know, basically knocks my eardrums out. But,
yeah,
you know,
my nephew Christopher is a Josh Bailey fanatic
mm-hmm,
too.
Yep. Yes. But, you know, what's the situation? I mean, you know, what do you expect now that we're hitting the December mark? You know, we're hitting the fact that this team's going to be on the road a lot more. And, you know, we were saying all along, you know, these are must games. But you know what? Now it really is true. And I didn't think I was going to have to say that in December they're must games.
They are must games. I mean, they got to turn the ship around. Like I said, if it's, you know, by Christmas, you know, if you're an Islander fan, it's like you're just going to be watching for the sake to see who might salvage their season.
Right.
You know, because it's not going to be a playoff picture for us in, you know, come the end of April and May.
Well, John, I can make you happy for one thing. 40 minutes into the game at Madison Square Garden, it is the New York Rangers 2 and the New York Rangers 0 and the Ottawa Senators 2.
That's interesting.
Two goals in the second period. Mark Stone on the power play. And Jean-Gabriel Pageau. Did I say that right? Good French, huh? Yeah, so the Rangers
have been playing better hockey.
The Rangers haven't been winning at home. That's it. I mean, you've got the shellac 6-1 to the Penguins last week. They lost before that. I can't remember to who. They've lost a couple in a row. You know, I think there might have to be a suicide watch at the Wasiak household.
No, I don't think quite yet.
Yeah, not quite yet. No, he did make a tweet the other day commenting about, you know, being in first in December and all that, but, you know, where they were. But, and again, credit where it's due. The Rangers are a strong team.
Right. And, I don't have a problem with that. And it just shows you, you know, that's what happens in hockey. You know, that's why they, as Chris Berman used to say with the NFL, that's why they play the games.
Exactly. That's exactly what you don't play, you know, you don't play in June unless it's important in October and November. And they've been doing just that.
They've been taking care of business.
I think they've been smarter this year, playing Ari Raanta a lot more than he's been in the past. Cause obviously, you know, I mean, we joke about, you know, Lundqvist always say, hey, what time is it? 4 past Lundqvist. Yeah. But you know what? He's getting older, but he's still very capable and very obviously still, you know, one of the strongest goaltenders in the NHL for a reason.
Right.
So, you know, getting him in, getting him the playing time. You know, Rontas won a cup. You know, remember he won in, he won in Chicago as a backup. So he's got some experience in it, and that's good. You know, I mean, and they're getting great help from a lot of guys.
They're getting balanced scoring.
They're getting balanced scoring, and 12 goals.
No, don't.
By number 40.
Yeah, don't even.
Again, a guy whose Islander jersey has been hung, has been retired, and I have to watch him score 12 goals and all of them at even strength.
Right.
You know, I mean, Grabner was one, again, extremely streaky. You know, we could be talking now in March and he may not have a goal in 24 games. But they've been getting great contributions from, I mean, Jimmy Vesey's had a great start to his career. They've got a couple of other guys that have stepped up and come out of nowhere. They lost, obviously they lost Mika Zibanejad for 8 weeks, and that's going to be a big loss.
Yeah, and they lost the Russian kid.
Yeah, the first round pick, Bugnevich, or I can't remember the name, but yeah. So they've had a couple of injuries and have other people step up. Obviously they picked up, Mark Pumple from the Ottawa Senators, actually. As a free agent acquisition, and he scored his first game as a Ranger, and obviously he made some comments at the Ottawa coach. So, you know, so it's gonna be interesting seeing what's coming up for the next couple of weeks. John, we got about 3 minutes left. We are not going to be on until probably after the New Year. So, obviously, for everybody that listens to our neck of the woods, we wish everybody a very Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, happy and safe, healthy New Year.
Exactly. Like we might be on New Year's night. I think that's going to be our night. I hate to tell you, but so if we're on January 1st, we'll talk about what's going on. Obviously bowl games and playoff series and, you know, the Jets fans going to be hanging themselves in effigy, you know, we'll see what happens. But, John, you know, this is the end of, well, we started in 2014 together. It's almost 3 years together, and I can't think of a better way to thank you for all the years that we've been working together. And, again, I hope you and your family have a great holiday.
Same here. Same here to you.
Again, and happy holidays to our buddy Brian behind the glass.
That's right.
He's the best.
Keeps the machine running.
Want to get in touch with us, again, John and I, well, I haven't written much lately, but we write for Isles Talk.
Yeah, I haven't yet.
And we are soon to be doing a podcast of our own through Blog Talk Radio. So definitely keep Isles Talk on the loop as we're going to get involved with some new ventures in 2017 in addition to Sports Talk 1240. But again, we wish you all the best in the Christmas holiday as well as 2017. And definitely stay tuned for another hour of Sports Talk 1240 that's coming. For John Panarese, this is Gary Harding wishing you a wonderful Sunday evening. And the words of my old, late, great friend, Bill Hayes, keep skating, everybody, and good night.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.